while flying, okay, among other parts of their description, okay, they are scavengers and take advantage of the efforts of others for their own gain. How many of you have ever seen a crow or a magpie or something out on the road eating a dead animal? Okay, they didn't kill that animal. They're just eating what somebody else did, right? And they're partaking of that. Okay, well, the angel details how all nations have drunk of the wine of her passionate immorality, of Babylon. Okay, and the rulers and the political leaders of the earth, they've all joined in with her in committing this fornication. Okay, and the fornication we talked about last week and the week before being idolatry. Okay, not just the sexual kind, but that was included, but it was mainly just idolatry, putting things ahead of God or as God in their lives. Okay, the businessmen of the earth have become rich with the wealth and the economic power of her excessive and sensual luxury. Okay, it is the system, okay, as a whole. This is what I just keep, you know, seeing as I'm reading through this, is that Babylon sort of describes this worldly system on how people are getting rich. I mean, some of you guys are probably millionaires and billionaires in this room too, but, you know, around the country, around the world, there are some that are just profiting off of us. You know what I mean? How many bought something on Amazon today? You know, it's the system. It is, and it's getting narrowed down. Have you noticed that? I mean, in our house, it's Amazon and eBay, right? Or a couple of the big ones that come to mind, but there are, it seems like, just these dominant things. I think it's going to keep narrowing, okay, as time goes on, but we'll see where it ends up. Let's read a few more verses. 18, verse 4. John says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." Okay, now this sounds a lot like the warning that God gave to his people to keep themselves unspotted from the world. Okay, there is some worldliness, and this, you know, it may step on toes just a little bit, but sometimes we get pretty caught up in the world. We get pretty carnal. And Christianity is not, we're not meant to be carnal. We're meant to be spiritual. We're meant to be hearing and listening and acknowledging the Holy Spirit and what he's doing, and bursting into, you know, a word of knowledge, or sharing scripturally with somebody from a word of wisdom or whatever God has given that is in tune with the Spirit of God. Okay, it sounds a lot like the admonition that the Apostle Paul gave to the Corinthians. We can read that, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14. He said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God?" Everybody say, "I am the temple of God." Okay, Paul says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" I mean, that's a specific Babylonian reference right there. It says, "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In verse 17, he says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Okay, now, these are two totally different authors that almost identically say the same message, that this is what God wants you to know. Come out from among them and be separate. Don't touch the unclean thing so that I can receive you, God says. Okay, then the angel, well, let me back up here, because why is that? Why does God say that? Why would God want you to come out from among them? Why does God want you separate? What is the whole big deal? Why can't we just live in the world? Because God is holy, and only that which is holy can be with him. Did you know, apart from the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing you of your sin, making you clean, you cannot be in the presence of God when you die. Okay, instantly you could not, it could not happen. Okay, God is pure, God is holy, And his expectation is that his people will be too. Okay, that's why I say we're not there yet. I mean, yes, Jesus accomplished what he did on the cross. We're on our way to heaven. Praise God. Okay, but God is still working a work in our life. We're getting rid of that carnality and the way of the world. Okay, Jesus reminded us that it's not what goes into the body that defiles it. Okay, many people think it's what they take into their body. They have a bad habit or they have this or whatever, and they say, oh, it makes me so unholy. Jesus said it's not what you take into your body that makes you unholy or defiles you. It's what comes out of you. Okay, what comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your heart? What comes out of your actions? How is the way you're living, speaking, and being, how is that giving glory to God or not giving glory to God? Okay, then the angel gives some more instructions about the destruction of Babylon. Let's get back to Revelation 18:6. He says, reward her even as she has rewarded you. Okay, and double unto her double. I like that saying. I don't know why. Reward unto her double unto double. Okay? It's a double dose, right? Give her double what she gave. Okay? And the cup of her, in the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. Okay? How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow now give her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. And my thought when I read that is nothing escapes God. Okay, nothing went unnoticed. Every detail of the deception of Babylon has been noticed by God. All that idolatry was noted. Okay, for all the harm that she brought upon the earth, she will receive a double portion of it back. The pride, the self-conceit of Babylon caused her to be drunk on her own wickedness. Okay? She thought that there was no end to her domain. Okay? And that is what happens when you really get caught up in the ways of the world. You just think you're just going to go on and live forever. People don't realize that there's a point coming. Okay, and not only is your body going to be in the dirt, but there's going to be a judgment. You're going to face God. You will meet your Maker. Okay, God washed all the lies and all the deception of Babylon, and now it's time for payback. The end is here for Babylon. Okay, but as she is being destroyed, the wicked kings and the rulers of the earth are going to mourn her loss. Okay, we already kind of talked about that. John's description is going to illuminate the greatness of the world system. It's going to point out all these great and wonderful things about the world system in man's eyes. And it is going to be kind of awe-inspiring then how such beauty and wonder and power and glory can be destroyed in an instant. Okay, and that's kind of his point, is that look at all this wonderful, powerful, good, glory, awesome things that seem so great in man's eyes, but it's all just snuffed out in an instant. Okay, we read in... Remember this morning we were reading in Psalm 50 as part of our family devotions, and God reminded the righteous that praise and thanksgiving were the only things acceptable to Him, okay, as far as our offerings unto Him. But then to the wicked He said, you have enjoyed your wickedness and not offered a single word of praise toward me. Therefore you will be torn in pieces and there shall be none to deliver you. Okay, God is paying attention to all the stuff that is going on. Okay, and that is where we know that we are of God and we're following after Him. We're going to live out our life as the children of God. I'm glad to be on this side of the line and be able to watch it. Okay, like John, I'm sure he was just in awe of what was happening. You remember when he first saw the harlot? It said John stood in amazement. He was just amazed at her. Okay, and that's what the world is enamored with, the system that is caught up. It just seems like the greatest thing since sliced bread, even though it is sliced bread, right? Okay, Revelation 18. Let's go back to Revelation 18:9. One more slide, buddy. There you go. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. Their merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men." You see that description? That word slaves and souls of men, slaves means people, okay, and the souls of those people, okay? And so in this description, it is kind of pointing out how awesome, I mean, everything you can think of, gold and silver and sheep and cattle and, you know, all these things, it seems like that's such an awesome thing. But in verse 14, it says, "And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all the things which were done daintily and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught." Every shipmaster, those are the sailors, the boatmen, and all the company in ships, and the sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off. And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like unto this great city?" And they cast dust on their heads, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." Imagine the end of the world system as we know it in an hour. You know, they had back in the day, and you guys are old enough to be a prepper in the year 2000, they thought the world was going to come to an end to a certain extent. I got in on some of it. Had a little extra water on hand and some gas, you know. Filled my car up with gas the night before, because the plan was that when everything in the year 2000, when it hit midnight or whatever, everything was going to shut down and the whole world system of being able to buy and sell and all that was supposedly supposed to stop. Okay, thankfully it didn't. I drank my water and burned my gas, right? Okay, but the point is that that was the anticipation of an event like this. Okay, only on a grander scale. I mean, worldwide is what's happening here in Revelation, that all of that system, every possibility to buy, sell, get gain, all that stuff ends in one instant. Okay, that possibility, I don't know, it just seems like with the way we're going with technology and all this stuff, I don't stay awake at night pondering on it because I'm with God and I'm going to be okay. So I'm not pondering in a negative way, but I do think about this, that it is such a critical time to be in tune with God, okay? To be hearing what God is saying and to be able to live and know that He will provide for you and take care of you, that's the way to be. Because this is describing the end of the world system. All that which is not of God, all the things that have led to so many being astray is now come to an end. I think it's a good reminder for us that what will stand in the end is God. Okay, there is none other. There is none greater, stronger. There is none other than God. It is Him. Okay, you brought nothing into the world, and it's certain that you will take nothing out of the world. Okay, only the Spirit of the living God is going to remain. There's a parable that Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 12, wanted to refresh your mind on. Luke 12, 16. Jesus speaks a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20 says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Okay, now I'm not against prospering. Okay, I want to prosper. Beloved, wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, James said, I believe. So it's not about wanting to live in poverty or not wanting to prosper, but we got to have the right perspective. And I think that last line is what sums it up, where he says, that lays not up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Okay, it's about that relationship with God. That is what's going to be most important. Okay, it is important to focus on the right things while we're here on the earth. In Hebrews 12:25, he says, "See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven." Okay, who speaks from heaven? God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, fill in the blank. Okay. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom, the kingdom of God, which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Okay, in the end, all that's going to matter is God in you. Okay, your personal relationship with Jesus. John 15:16, Jesus said this. He said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Okay, so if your fruit is going to remain, and God is what's going to be remaining at the end of the shaking, your fruit should be of a godly sort. Okay, and so we don't pursue to try to build up a big, you know, bunch of money and just to keep it and store it up somewhere. If we want to make a bunch of money, that's great, but let's give it to somebody. Let's share the wealth. Let's bless people. Let's use it for God's kingdom. Let's glorify the name of Jesus Christ even more. Okay, so what does God want out of your life? Okay, what is God saying to you to do or to not do? Okay, what is God saying about what's happening in your world right now? Okay, how does God see you? Okay, we look in the scriptures and we understand that God has made you beautifully and wonderfully in his image. Okay, do you live in God's economy or do you live in the world's economy? Okay, what is important to God? Okay, these are the things that we want to be asking ourselves. We want to be pursuing what is God's understanding of a particular issue. How would God, anybody ever heard the expression WWJD, right? It's a real thing. What would Jesus do in a situation? That's a great way to look at life. You come into a situation, how would Jesus handle this? There's times to flip the tables over, okay? But there's other times to talk to them, to listen to them, to pray for them, to whatever. Handle it the way that Jesus would handle it. Okay, then as we close out chapter 18, it describes the rejoicing in heaven over Babylon's destruction. Okay, the annihilation of Babylon. Let's read 18:20. He says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and then the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Okay, so at this point, a mighty angel picks up a boulder the size of a large millstone and throws it into the sea and says, with this sort of violence, the great city of Babylon is going to be thrown down, never to be found again. Okay, imagine the size of many of the millstones were in the tonnage. I mean, they were huge. Okay, a large millstone would be maybe 15 to 20 feet wide, more than a foot thick, okay, and weighed thousands and thousands of pounds. It would be something heavier than any human being could move. Okay, I have a picture of, yeah, my tech guy is already ahead of me. He just saluted me back there. This is basically give you an idea of a millstone in comparison to a small child. This one is not that big, but you get the idea. Remember there's a scripture Jesus talked about with the millstone, it'd be better for him that a millstone be tied around his neck and thrown into the sea. Okay, so this is that reference to that. What happens, I Googled millstones, and one of them, I kid you not, it's a cartoon drawing of a guy with a rope around his neck with a millstone that is down in the ocean, and he's, you know, being pulled down under. It was, I didn't put that one up here just because it's too graphic, so I just told you about it, right? Okay, but the idea is that that is a millstone. Imagine one that was five times this size or whatever, picked up, and if that was thrown in, okay, what it signified, that the violence and the splash and the sinking never to be found again, if you threw it, a millstone into the ocean, you know, 1,000 feet deep, whatever, you're never going to see it again. It is gone forever. And that's the description, that's the point that he's making about Babylon, that it is hereby destroyed forever, never to be seen again. Okay, a mighty angel picks up a boulder that size and throws it into the sea. Okay, so the mighty city, thrown like a boulder into the sea, will be destroyed and silenced. Okay, and if you heard some of the references in that passage we read, the city had been filled with music. Okay, it had been filled with harps and songs and flutes and trumpets. There had been a busy industry, kind of a buzzing economy. People were busy making money. The milling of grain had provided plenty of food. People had enjoyed life. There had been wedding celebrations that referenced the bride and the groom. Okay, but when all of it collapses, there's going to be no more music, okay, no more industry, no more happy people, no more happy, shiny people. Okay, they're all going to be gone. Okay, there's going to be complete darkness without a single light, single lamp. There's going to be total and utter destruction. It mentioned towards the end of that passage we read the sorceries. Those sorceries by which it deceived was like a spell on them. Okay, it is that spell in which the people flourished. They got caught up in that. Okay, they were so enamored by the greatness of their culture that they thought it would never end. Didn't see it coming. Okay, remember as Jesus described in another place, he said, they will in those days, like in the days of Noah, they'll be marrying and giving in marriage and doing all this stuff. Won't even see it coming. Okay, that's what happens when you're caught up in the world and not up in God. Okay, they willingly worship the beast in order to partake in what they perceive as the peace and joy that they think the beast has given them. You guys remember when we read about the beast and it had seven heads and one of them got killed and came back to life? And then the other one said, we should build an image unto the beast and we should all worship this beast because it came back to life. That beast is where these guys think they're getting all the great stuff from. They're looking at that as this is where all of our power and money and wealth and joy and everything comes from. Okay, back in Revelation 13, verse 14 is where it said that. He said, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Okay, so he died and now he lives. In verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand on their foreheads, and that no man should buy or sell, save he had that mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay, so at this point, all those people are just worshiping this beast because that's where their power came from. If they don't worship the beast, they didn't get the right kind of mark, they weren't going to be able to even live, right? So in their mind, the beast is great and wonderful. Okay, the way of the world is deceptive. Okay, and I want to urge you again to keep seeking the ways of God. Okay, when you're finding out or even news stuff, sometimes I don't like watching. I know I got to keep up on it a little bit, but I'd rather just tune into God, man. If I want to know what's coming, I can read my Bible. If I want to know what's coming, I can talk to the Holy Spirit. If I want to know where we're at in our, you know, the coming of Christ and things that are happening, I can talk to God and He will show me. Okay, that's not just me, that's Christianity. It is keeping a tune in to God and set it. Remember the old radios, you had to dial them in, they get a little fuzzy and squeaky and then zoop, you get them tuned in. Hey, tune in to God once in a while. Keep that live. Keep him turned up a little bit so that you can hear what's going on in the world. Okay, to live and walk in the Spirit is the only way to avoid fulfilling the lust of the flesh and yielding to the lust and the deceptions and the idolatry and the world system. Okay, so next chapter, next week, we'll get into the heavenly host is going to praise God because of Babylon fallen. Babylon was a big deal. Okay, there's, you know, it was worth going back, worth for that angel to pull John aside and, hey, let's take a closer look at the fall of Babylon, should we? Because it made so much sense to see it torn down after seeing how much it had destroyed. Okay, so we'll look at the heavenly host. They're going to praise God. We're going to see the wedding feast of the Lamb of God. Okay, and then we're going to see the heavens being opened up for a rider on a white horse. You can just use your imagination to think of who that might be. But we're going to get into that next week and get a little deeper into Revelation 19. So let's pray it out tonight. Father, we are praising the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your Son. Thank you for the life that we now have because of him. We live because of you and what you've done. Father, we put our faith wholeheartedly in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we do, like we talked on Sunday, that we obsess about you, that we want more of you, that we stand before you and ask, God, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? What do you want from my life, Lord? I will give it. That we'll lay down our life, take up the cross, and follow after you daily. Father, I pray that we understand the purpose of your angelic beings in our society right now, in our world that we live in. I pray that we understand the world system, have a better glimpse of what it may be and how we can use it to our advantage, but not get caught up in it in a way that we will go with it when that system says, follow me. Father, we will trust in you with our lives. We yield ourselves to you and open ourselves up to let you live and breathe and do what you want to do in and through our life, Lord. We're trusting you tonight. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.